Jesus the foundation. Amen. How many know Jesus is the foundation for salvation?
Glory to God.
Amen.
There's no salvation till then. They was covering, shedding blood for covering sins, but redemption had to come through Jesus.
Amen.
And he's the foundation of salvation. You know, he was born of a virgin, you know, by the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle right there.
Right.
You know, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, to him, and told him, Joseph told him, that go ahead and take Mary for your wife. You know, go ahead. She's pregnant.
Right.
He knew she was pregnant. I would think if my wife's pregnant, if my fixing to be wife's pregnant, we ain't never been together. You know, I mean, he had to appear. He probably wouldn't have did it.
Right.
But he told him, he said, you're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Hallelujah.
And so that's how that come about. And thank God for Jesus today.
Amen.
There ain't no other way to be saved. Some people say good works, you know, if you be good and, you know, and all of that, and water baptism. I mean, there's a lot of wrong doctrine out there. Water baptism will save you. I've been told if I wasn't baptized, that I wasn't saved. But I told the guy, I said, you know what? I said, there wasn't no church in my living room, man. I said, I called on the Lord. I said, and I got saved in my living room. I said, I wasn't baptized.
Right.
I said, but I knew Jesus. I knew that something happened to me.
Yep.
See, Jesus was the foundation for myself and your salvation. It wasn't water baptism. It wasn't good works. He is the foundation for salvation.
Amen.
And God sent him. And the Bible says that he is the chief cornerstone.
Yep.
I mean, he's the solid cornerstone that we build our lives on.
Amen.
And I mean, God's hand is not short or slack today. The world is in trouble, and you know it. You turn on the news. You've been through a lot in the last couple of years. Inflation's high right now, and gas is high, and you know, and all of that, and it's really real. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the foundation for salvation. Now, salvation, if you look up salvation, if you study salvation, it's not just getting born again. You know, he didn't just come into our life and say, that's over. You're saved now. You don't have to go to hell. Your sins are not going to, you know, that wasn't over. Salvation is like a package deal. I mean, when we give our life to him, the Bible says that we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Jesus paid a major price for me and you to be born again. And he says, now we're not our own.
Amen.
You know, and so what that means is he took on our life. He took it on. He said, if you'll give me your heart and give me your life, I'll take care of you. I'll supply your spiritual needs. I'll supply finances for you. I'll hook you up. I'll take care. Salvation is a package deal.
Glory to God.
And the more that we learn to see, a guy was telling me the other day, you know, yesterday talking, you know, and talking about how that when people are going through things, we need to get down there and we need to just understand where they're at and all of that stuff. And really what we need to do is not go down there. We need to know the one that delivered us.
Lord,
and we need to know something's wrong. Turn me down a little or something. Okay. We need to know the one that delivered us and have a realness of his life in our lives. And then when we talk to people that are down there going through a divorce, they're down there, their kids are in prison, whatever it is, and their lives are just really messed up, we have a confidence in us that Jesus is the way. He is the way for that. He is the life, the Bible says, and he is the peace. Now we're going through right now. Some, you know, the Bible says in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
That word want means lack.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up and studied it in the Hebrew language. See, a lot of God's people don't realize that Bible, Jesus didn't speak English. Jesus, he spoke Greek, Hebrew, and Greek. And so the Bible was translated over into English so me and you could read it. And so I go and I study words when I wonder, what does that mean? What does that mean? I got me a Strong's Concordance so I could go back and see the original meaning of the word.
Amen.
And then it gives me a greater picture of God.
Glory to God.
Because the Bible says that the word is inspired by God, wrote by holy men, set apart men of God, inspired by the Lord. So the word of God, it didn't come from a natural source.
Right.
The word of God is not natural. It's eternal. It's alive, Hebrews says. Hebrews 4:12 says the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Going down to the dividing asunder soul, spirit, mind, and bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. See, when we're yielding to the word of God, and it's like I told that brother, I said, you know what? I said, we need to stick to the Bible.
Right.
We don't need to get down there and get in people's under. We understand how you feel and all of that, although we may. We don't need to get down there in that with them. We need to get them by the hand or pray for them or tell them, no, come on up, God. He said, well, we don't want to make them feel like we're higher than they are. I said, well, if they're down there without God, we are.
Amen.
The Bible says it. It says, if the gospel's hid, it's hid to those who the God of this world has blinded their hearts and minds, don't
he? Right.
Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me, didn't he?
Right.
Now, I didn't write that Bible.
Right.
But see, and I went on and I told that brother, we wasn't in an argument, we were just talking. I went on and told that brother, I said, see, that's why I keep preaching the gospel. I said, I've been called by the Lord to preach the gospel. I said, and I'm going to keep preaching the gospel, I said, because I realize that everybody don't know Jesus. I realize that everybody don't know how to walk with Jesus after they're born again. I realize that everybody don't know how to live their life by faith, in real faith, like the Bible says in Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Daniel went in the lion's den. By faith, because of their faith. See, the word by faith in Hebrews 11 don't mean by. It means because of. It means these people had faith in God. So the lion's den didn't seem that bad. When they come down there and they said, you're going to be thrown in this fiery furnace if you don't bow down. See, the real true faith will cause us to stand against the things that are trying to take God out of our life.
Right.
Even though they got thrown in there, what happened? What happened in there in that fire? They didn't get burned up.
Right.
No, sir. One likened to the Son of Man ended up in the why? Because they had faith in God. He said, even if he don't deliver us, we're not bowing down.
Right.
You know, we have to have that same attitude today. I know that was the Hebrew children, but we've been grafted in. We're the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we have the same power living on the inside of us that Jesus had. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, and if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, he will also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Yes, we're coming up on troubled times. I believe we're in the last days. I believe that Jesus could come any minute. I mean, I'm expecting him to come any minute. But I'm really not praying, Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come. I see it on churches now, church signs. Come, Lord Jesus. And I'm like, no, Lord, there's too many people lost, God. Bring us revival, God, before you come, Lord. Raise up your people, Lord. Don't let anybody perish. And that's the will of God. Now, the reason why some are feeling that way and all of that is because of trouble. I mean, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times would come. Hard times, troublesome times, hard to deal with people. We're living in those times. And you know, Isaiah said over there in Isaiah 60, he said, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. He said, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. See, and that's one of the things why I felt led of the Lord to lead the church into fasting. We need to fast and seek our God. And that's telling our God, He's just not any God. He is the God.
Amen.
There's no other way that men can be saved other than Jesus Christ. I don't care what doctrine says anything different, the Bible declares it. No other name under heaven where men should be saved other than the name of Jesus. They told them in the book of Acts, they said, stop preaching in that name. We're living in a time now where God offends. You mentioned God and Jesus in places it offends people. And they want God out of there. Well, we don't care. I was on my knees fixing to commit suicide in 1994 because I didn't have no hope. I was without God, without hope in this world. And my brothers had told me about Jesus. Thank God they witnessed about Jesus. I was just attacked the other day about telling stories in here. It's not stories. It's examples of the living God in my life and what He did for me. And I believe He'll do it for you based on the Bible.
Right.
That's not a story.
Testimony.
That's a testimony.
That's right.
Testimony of the Lord Jesus.
Yep.
And we brought it up about how Paul was before King Agrippa, ungodly king. And he began to tell King Agrippa that Jesus knocked him off his donkey. He began to tell him the testimony of what happened to him, and that God had anointed him and sent him to the Jews and all of that. The grace coming in, the grace of the Lord. And King Agrippa said, "You almost convinced me to become a Christian."
Hallelujah.
He wasn't even trying to convert King Agrippa. Jesus was real to him. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus, have you really been born again? Are you really born again? I know that I'm born again. I don't have to say it by faith. I was there. I know what my life was. I know that something apprehended me, came in that day, that even I tried to walk away from God, and it's nothing. The world is just no fun no more. Sing the song, "He's the best thing that ever happened to me." I can't sing it, but I just thought of that part. Hallelujah. "He's the best thing ever happened to me." And the world is in trouble. The government is in trouble. The world, with wars and all of that, are taking place. Earthquakes, weird weather, all kinds of stuff are taking place. But Jesus said that we are to occupy till He comes. What that means, occupied, just don't mean we just gonna barely. See, God, Jesus, when He comes back and He sends the angels to the four winds to catch us up to the Lord, He's not coming back after a weak, broke, sick, barely making it body of Christ. He's coming after us because we're alive unto God. We're worshiping our God. We're preaching the gospel. We're occupying. We're taking ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I believe fasting is one of the ways that helps us.
Right.
But after we get born again, Jesus is that chief cornerstone. Then what do? We begin to build our lives on God's word.
Amen.
If God said, if God's word says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Then we don't complain when people come against us. We get our foundation from that word right there. Just like they, you know, they attacked me. And I told that fella, with all due respect, because I don't argue about that Bible. I don't debate whether I got the right interpretation or not. Praise God. If I don't know, I say I don't know. Praise God. And I'm not going to add nothing to it. Until I get revelation, I'll just tell you I don't really know all deep into that, praise God. But I'm sure the Lord will show you.
Yeah.
Instead of coming up with some man-made interpretation of what I think that scripture means based on where I'm at or my experience, then I'm leading somebody astray.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all asked me one time, I went to the jail, and the Lord opened the jails up for a few years. Got people getting born again, you know, and then I'm going back every week and talking to them about the Lord. I didn't really know all that much, but I'm going to church and I'm hearing the sermons. Then I'm going to preaching the sermons that I heard that morning. I felt kind of guilty, so I went to my pastor. I said, I'm stealing your sermons, man. He said, what do you mean stealing my sermons? I said, I don't really know nothing, but when I hear it here, I said, when I get to the jail, that's all I can preach. He said, that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. He said, they're not my sermons.
That's right.
He said, I'm led by the Lord. I said, the Lord's given what he wants. He said, they're not my sermons. Right. That Bible don't belong to me. He said, God's doing that. But people was getting saved, and I'm like, man, they like Brad's sermon over here, man. Everybody getting saved under these sermons. Then I'd say, man, you need to come to church over there. Then they started asking me, where do you go to church? What I'm talking about, it wasn't that I was knew what I was doing or anything. I'm just following this simple man named Jesus.
Man.
I'm just doing what I felt led to do. It's like I told a guy yesterday. I said, I don't know about you. I said, but I'm going to do the will of God for me. I'm going to find out what the will of God is. And when I find out what the will of God is, at all costs, I said, for me, I said, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do it. I said, and God will anoint me to do it, whatever it is. If it's going in shipwreck like Paul, if it's going in the lion's den like Daniel, well, then so be it. That's where I'm going. If it's been sold into slavery like Joseph in there, God was with Joseph all along. Joseph come out and delivered everybody.
Glory.
That's the same God that we serve today.
Right.
But I believe we've come and... And I believe we've tried to be people pleasers when people don't leave church. And I'm not trying to get negative. We need to stick with that Bible.
Amen.
Just like I told that guy, he's mad because he quits because I bring up tithes every week. I said, well, it's in the Bible.
Right.
He got upset because I was COVID had hit. And he thought I was just telling stories about COVID. I was trying to get us to stand in faith against that disease so that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's not telling about COVID.
Right.
That's bringing in the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. By Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Psalms 91, no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Don't that Bible say that?
Yeah.
No, I would consider that a plague. It ain't from God. God didn't send it wherever it come from. God's a healer.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. The Bible says in Psalms, he sent his word and healed them. Now, why would I want to cow down to something like that that's anti-God?
Right.
Jesus didn't take those stripes for nothing. Well, they water it down and they say, well, we'll be healed one day totally. We won't have no, we will. We'll take on a new body. But you know what? We ain't going to need that Bible in heaven. We're going to know as God knows. We're going to know his thoughts, know his heart. We're going to be like the angels saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Yes, all tears are going to be wiped away. But the book of Psalms tells us like heaven on earth.
Amen.
See, Jesus is the foundation, but the word is where we build our lives. And that's where we get strength. Because the word is alive. Teresa was going through that vertigo stuff. See, here I go tell another story. I can't help it.
Right. Come on,
brother.
I'm not telling a story. She's going through vertigo and I go in and she can't drive no more. She can't cook no more. She can't walk without falling into the wall like she's done drank a bottle of whiskey. You know, and nothing has happened to her. I go in one day and she can't even come to church and do her job at church. And she did a lot for the church and I was having to take up all the slack. And I go in, and walk in from work and she looked at me and she said, I'm stuck in this body. In other words, she don't want to be sitting there. She wants to be up doing things, so she's held captive by a thing.
Right.
Don't the Bible say whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I go in there and I'm my heart's kind of torn and I don't really know what to say to that. I mean, so I go through there and I'm fixing to get my clothes off and the Lord spoke to me inside. I didn't hear no voice. How many knows he speaks to your inner man?
Amen.
People says he don't speak to him today. He does us.
Right.
Maybe you got the wrong God. I don't know about you. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit, Romans 8, 14. So if we're, how are we going to be led by the Spirit if he ain't speaking? He is speaking.
Amen.
He does give us instruction. And so I get in there and the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell her to fight. She's not fighting. And I went back in there and I looked around the corner and I know I'm in trouble. telling her, you make a Christian mad. If they're in unbelief and all that, you tell them they're in unbelief, you'll get mad. Boy, what a good Christian. You are judging everybody. No, we're trying to help you. If you're sitting in darkness, man, and we tell you you are, and you really are, don't get mad. Let the light come on.
Right. Yeah.
Get up and do something about it, right? Yeah. So I go in there and I said, you're going to have to fight. She said, I believe God. I've been believing God. I said, there's a difference in believing in God and fighting.
Yeah.
The demon Satan believes there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. And so I told her, I said, don't get mad at me. I said, I'm fasting for you. I'm praying for you daily. I'm confessing the word over you. I'm telling God you're the healed of God. I said, it's not like I'm not doing my part to help you. I said, I'm doing everything I know to do to help you. I said, but the Lord said that you got to fight.
Amen.
Well, don't the Bible say in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith?
Amen.
And lay hold. Fight the good fight of faith, he said, lay hold. He said, Paul said, many have made shipwreck in faith. I mean, those people make shipwreck in faith. If it wasn't so, it wouldn't be in the Bible. That some have made shipwreck. The Bible says for me to examine myself, Paul did, to see if I be in the faith. Why would God have him to write that? To examine. That I mean I need to keep check and make sure I am in the faith.
Right.
Well, I go on. I don't really feel good because I had to tell her that. But you know what she did? She went and got her Bible. She went in and got her Bible and got her a notebook, and she went in there and found every scripture on healing. The woman with the issue of blood, she made notes. She started going through. How many of the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word.
Amen.
And so she starts writing all that down. Then she goes out there, drinks her cup of coffee in the morning, and she rehearses those scriptures. God, your word says this. God, your word says this. And she begins to, I am the healed of God. Lord, healing is the children's bread, according to Proverbs. She took all the scriptures. You know what was happening? Her faith was beginning to be built in that area.
Right.
Yeah. Come in one day, about a month. After I told her that the next day, I never seen a secular movie on again for a while. Preaching on or praise and worship on. That's fighting the fight. That's doing what we need to do.
Amen.
Turning off secular things, even if it's just entertainment. Turning it off. Focus in on the things. The Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen.
Amen.
They are eternal. Healing's eternal.
Amen.
Supernatural. Well, I come in about a month later. I felt like I was having withdrawals from the news, man. Ain't heard the news in a week. I don't know what's going on out there in the world. Good. Done me good.
Right.
I didn't need to know what's going on out there in the world.
Yeah.
The Bible tells me what's going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness is going to cover the earth. Gross darkness to people. See, I don't need all that information.
Right.
Well, we need to know what's going on. Why? Why do we feel we got to keep up with everything? Right. See, that's the natural man. That's the natural. Hell, we all know what's coming. What's it going to change if you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to live the same address. You're going to worry about it. I mean, those worries not good. It'll kill you. It's not good for you spiritually. Well, I come in one day, and she met me at the door. Had the keys in her hand. She said, let's go. I said, where are we going? She said, heal people drive.
Amen.
I thought, oh God, I got to have them Psalms 91 angels right now. I got to go ride with her, man. I usually don't wear a seat belt against the law. You need to buckle up, but I usually don't, but I buckled up. And I told my angels, I said, now, but God, I know y'all on the job. Y'all ain't kept around about me. You can help her drive need to. But you know what, praise God? She got out, she got in, and the things began to go away. What was she doing? Laying hold. She was laying hold. She did. When she realized she was, believing God's different than fighting. I believe that he is. I believe I can be saved. But me getting saved, I got to do something.
Right?
I mean, I believed in the Lord Jesus, but I didn't. That salvation didn't happen that was already paid for until I asked the Lord, if you're really real, come into my life. Come help me. See, even though salvation was there, I was lost.
Right.
It had already been paid for me. Well, how many knows the things of God are the same way? Healing's the same way. Finances are the same way. To believe God. God told me the other day, he said, well, you know, I don't believe God wants us to have a lot of money. I said, where did you get that in the Bible at?
Right.
I said, I'm asking, man. Help me get uneducated. I educated myself in the Word, and I believe we're supposed to be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. I believe that we're supposed to have more than enough to pay our bills so that we can buy somebody else some groceries. I said, help me in the Bible where I can get uneducated.
Right.
They don't got no scripture for it, Johnny.
Right.
They've been broke. They don't know how to believe God or whatever the case may be. I try not to judge people. That's really none of my business. If they want to believe themselves broke, just do it. If you want to believe yourself sick, just stay there. I'm not going to judge you. You're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. But I ain't going to need the things of God in heaven when I've got a new body. Right?
Yeah.
I've got streets of gold. Ain't that funny how this broke God has gold that we're going to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
Walls of jasper and onyx and mansions.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there'll be some giant bass up there. I like the bass fish, man. You know? I told the Lord, I don't want a house trailer up there, Lord. I don't believe there's none up there.
Me either.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the house trailer down here. I've lived in one. They're fine. But you know what? I'd rather have a mansion.
Right.
But the word mansion means dwelling places. God has special fixed dwelling places for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And I'll come back after you. I bet you he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. I know he is, but saying this morning. Look at that church down there glorifying you, Lord. Look at that church down there believing you, Lord. This church and whichever church is.
Amen.
I've had people telling me, y'all are that faith way Christians. What does that mean? Faith way. I said, ain't the Baptist supposed to have faith?
Yeah.
Have y'all got a different Bible than me?
Right.
Are the Methodists supposed to have faith?
Yeah.
You know, are the Catholics supposed to have faith?
Yeah.
Or is that a different Bible for different denominations?
Sure.
They can't. All they can say is, nah, we got the King James. Well, I got it too.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mark 11:22 says, for us all to have faith in God.
Yeah.
Don't it?
Yeah.
And the Bible says right after that, he said, have faith in God. One translation, or if you study that, it says, have the faith of God. And the Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith. We've been given the God kind of faith, which has been placed in us by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was birthed and married by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God kind of faith has been put on the inside of us. That's why we are supernatural beings now. We're not just natural beings. Christ in me and you, the hope of glory. How is he there? By the Holy Spirit. And I believe he's up there today. You know, and I'm telling the Lord, Lord, help me to go on into you. So that, Lord, when I preach to people about what you've done for me, Lord, that they feel it, that you will do that for them, Lord. Lord, let what I say not be enticing words of my wisdom. Lord, let it be by the power and Spirit of God. And each one of us needs to be like that. Whether we're preaching or we're witnessing or we're talking to our kids or whatever the case might be. We need to be Christ-minded, God-minded, kingdom-minded.
Amen.
Jesus came and preached the kingdom. Preached to him, he said, the kingdom is near you.
Right.
The kingdom is rent, repent, for the kingdom has come near. He preached the kingdom. Yeah, I told him one time, he said, well, the four gospels. I said, well, look, man. I said, that ain't the gospel.
Yeah.
I said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the gospel like people say.
Right.
He said, well, you done got worked up, heck. I said, no, God preached the gospel to Abraham.
Right.
Yeah. I said, have you read the Old Testament where God preached the gospel to Abraham? I said, now, they are the four people that walk with Jesus and given their side of what story, their examples of walking with Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, that is the accounts of Jesus in their eyes.
Right.
The Bible is the gospel. It's not just four books.
Amen.
The Bible, the gospel was preached to Abraham. He said, in thee, in thy descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He was telling Abraham, coming down through the years, there's coming a lineage from you that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I don't know if he's told him it was going to be Jesus or not, but Jesus was in the lineage of Abraham. Descendants from Abraham. Abraham was called the father of faith. But he told him, in thy seed shall, and here these two are. See, you might be thinking today that things are bad and churches, they just gone to shrivel up and blah, blah, blah. No, we went through a purging in the last 2 years. I mean, Satan used the pandemic. He used fear to shut the churches down. He used fear to shut the people out where we couldn't congregate and worship together and come together and do exploits in the name of Jesus. That pandemic fear swept the TV, and Christians turned on it and turned from the Bible, I believe. I can't prove it, but I can prove it in their faith walk. I mean, they wasn't fighting for church anymore. They didn't. I mean, it felt good. Let's go live on TV. Well, I find that Jesus went up on the mountainside. He didn't have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Fox and all of them. He didn't have all of them. He had a voice that was anointed by the Holy Spirit. All of that's good and fine if God is leading, but it don't replace the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are in the Bible. He says, as much as you see the day approaching, encourage one another to good works. And he was talking about assembling together.
Hallelujah.
That guy that attacked, because I teach tithing here. Tithing's in the Bible. It's not under the law. People don't study it. They don't study it. It was before the law ever got here. Tithing's all the way back to Genesis. The word tithing ain't in Genesis. But he told Adam and Eve, he said, all of this right here you can have, but leave this one for me. Don't touch this. Didn't he? Then he goes on down and Abraham tithed way before the law. Moses one got the law. There wasn't even any law. It wasn't mandatory for them to tithe when Moses come down off of Mount Sinai. People get their own interpretation of things instead of studying and getting a bigger scope of the Bible than just the word they're reading right then.
Right.
Well, you know, so that guy that left the church, and that's fine. I just told him, I said, well, you know, it just sounds like we're just not your cup of tea.
Right.
You know, but you got a cup somewhere. Find where you're supposed to be. Maybe we're not it.
Yeah.
Every ministry's not geared like this one.
Right.
We're all to go into all the world. We're all over the world by way of internet since 2008. We've got a clothing ministry and a food ministry once a month. You know, I mean, everybody's not, God's not telling everybody to do that. So it puts a demand on us to have good character, be like Jesus, work out our attitudes, be faithful to church, and do the work of the ministry, right? It requires stuff out of us.
Amen. Yeah.
It requires responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because we're on a big stage. How do people see us? What do they perceive? They should be perceiving that we are like Christ as much as we possibly can be.
Right.
You don't hear me as a pastor. I know a lot of y'all stuff.
Right.
But you don't hear me uncovering nobody nowhere. I don't go, did you hear what they would? Y'all, some of y'all used to be the biggest gossipers in the church. You found out something about somebody, you got to go tell everybody. Then you started getting under here and found out that was a sin. That's against God.
Right.
Yeah. And then you still took you a while to quit doing it. You done trained your mouth to just spill out all the trouble. Done trained yourself. Some people enjoy that. They just enjoy around just soaking up all that gossip. Just talking gossip. Ooh, I feel like the Lord's here. Yeah. You done got out from under the anointing and flesh feels like the Lord. It ain't the Lord. The Bible says that love covers them. Love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It don't say uncover them so everybody will know. Because you know what? I was doing drugs one day and repented, and I'm preaching the next night in a church. You might not agree with that, but I was forgiven right then. And God opened the door, and I've never done drugs again.
Amen.
I was backslid one night and repented, and a preacher walked up on my porch the same night and tells me, God wants you to come preach at my church. My mind is, man, I've still got the results of meth.
Right.
I'm still a little high, man. See, the Bible says the call of God is without repentance. He don't change his mind.
That's right.
And so I preached. Somebody found out that knew that I'd been backslidden doing drugs, and they said, we're not going. That it was their church. And they said, we're not going. We're not going to hear him preach. We know he's been doing drugs, man. And I'm telling you, by the time church got there, he was withdrawn. He told them, y'all going to church. Be faithful to assemble yourself together. They went on to church because the Lord dealt with them to go to church. See, don't judge somebody by what you think. I'll go to death row with them murderers, and I'll lead them to Jesus. I won't tell them you can't be saved because you killed somebody.
Right.
That's not God. He said he would that none should perish. Now, they're going to stand and they're going to give an account before the Lord. And, you know, they things are not going to be, but their soul would be saved.
Glory to God.
And so they came to church, and I'm telling you, when I got up behind that pulpit, the anointing of God fell in on me. It just fell on me. You know, it kind of felt like the only way I could explain it is when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And when he come up out of that water, the Bible says the Spirit of God come on him like as a form of a dove and lit on him. That's the way I felt. I thought, how can this be? Man, I'm backslid yesterday doing drugs. And now I'm standing behind the pulpit, and the anointing is on me. And the Spirit of God fell in there, and I mean, it was so anointed that night. It wasn't because of me, it was because of Jesus. And Jesus was letting me know, the anointing on your life is not because you're perfect and mess up and all of that, and you know, but you got a heart after God. You're willing to repent, man. See, the further we get away from the Lord as Christians, the more the world will draw us. We'll try to fill the voids of God that we've been worshiping and going after. We'll try to fill it with something else, whether it's fishing or food or car or something different to try to fill that void. There's a place in us created by God for Him. And that void is only filled by Him.
That's exactly right.
And that, I mean, it got so anointed, somebody jumped up, a lady jumped up in there, started screaming. I mean, run slap out of the church. We're screaming, top of her lungs. You can hear her all the way around the church. Just the power of God on her. All the way around the church and back in through the church and sat back down. I thought we're going to die, man. Run herself to death out there. And I'm sitting there at all. And I'm like, God, look what I would be missing out on, God. Seeing your mighty power touch your mighty people. Hallelujah. See, we're living in the time where the glory of God is going to rise and is going to set on those. And I don't know about, I think you're a prayer warrior. I don't know if you are or not. Our visitor there, that young lady back there.
Hello.
She's a prayer warrior. I seen it when we were doing praise and worship.
Yeah.
That she knows God. She touches God. I could see her just like one of the elders at my church up there. She would come over there, and I thought she was strange because I'd come out of the drug culture and drugs and party life and all of that stuff. And she stands over there and during praise and worship, wraps her arms around herself, and she just sits there, and then she'll just burst out, and she'll say, "He's my lover. Jesus is my lover." I thought, this woman's weird. Your lover? See, my thinking was still like the world. Yeah. Lover, you know, on the side or whatever, lover.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't. She was intimate with God. She would, and the more I got to know the lady, I mean, she would hug me and she would say things into my life that only God could put there that would inspire me.
Glory to God. Yeah.
See, she was planted in the body, just like this lady. She's a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
I saw it while we did praise and worship. So you pray for this church. If you don't never come back again, I hope you do. Good.
Hallelujah.
I want you praying for this church. I want you praying for us. You sit here by the Lord, whether you ever come to this church again or not. The Bible says that those that do know their God, that's us, will do exploits.
Glory to God.
Amen. Exploits means extraordinary things. We'll have the supernatural working in our life. That's one of the things fasting does. Fasting gets us tuned in to what the Spirit of God said. Because I'm telling you, the world is getting harder and harder, and people are just, they're already ain't making it financially, $4 and something a gallon and all of that stuff. That's why we pull up to the pumps and we say, "Thank you, God. I've got gas money. Thank you, God." Don't get in there complaining about it and all that. Believe God for more to come into you. He said it's a plow of our need. According, keep that faith in Him. Keep it in Him. Not just when gas is $1 a gallon. Guy walked up to me one time and I'm trying to learn myself how to believe God in troubled times. You know, it's easy to have faith when you ain't got no trials going on.
That's right.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. But it's when you got trials going on. It's when everything ain't working out. It's when everybody's getting on your nerves. That's when you need faith. That's when you need genuine faith. Yeah. The real faith. Right. Comes up here and he says, "Brother," he said, "let's pray for gas prices to go down." I said, "I won't do it." He looks at me kind of funny. "Brother, I mean, we're all struggling." I said, "Listen, how can I believe for gas prices to go down when God might want me to have a jet plane flying over the world, around the world, preaching the gospel now? I got to be able to believe Him for jet fuel. It's way higher than gas."
Yeah.
I said, "What I'm going to do here is I'm going to believe that God will increase your faith. Increase your faith to where you can believe whether it's $1 a gallon or $10 a gallon." I said, "It'd be better off that way because your faith will be balanced whether gas is 3 or 2 or 1.
Right.
I said, "It'll juggle your faith around."
Yeah.
I said, "So let's just believe God together. Glory to God. Let it go to $10 a gallon." Well, you know what? I helped that guy. That guy went off and told me later on. He said, "I've never thought about that." I said, "I'm not that smart either." I said, "It was the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
I said, "I'm not that smart either." I said, "It ain't about us being smart." I said, "It's about our God."
Right.
Our God, He knows everything.
Yeah.
That guy told me, he said, challenged a little bit. You know, when you're challenged, it don't feel good, honey.
Right.
I mean, when I'm challenged about the ministry or something, you know, because I'm always open whether I can be wrong or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if I need to change, I need to change, you know. Yeah. I need to be open to the Lord just like I preached everybody else to be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was challenged. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, I'm sorry, Lord, if I tell too many stories at church, Lord. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, Lord. I said, Lord, and I went on and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I ever tell a story, I do it to glorify you. I said, I really do try to glorify you, because I never bring, you know, like I'm smart enough and strong enough to do it without you,
right?
You know. And then, you know, the story, the Lord led me to the testimony when Paul was testifying to King Agrippa.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, if Satan can kill your testimony, the church's testimony, he can kill the power.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I went on and told that guy, just like me and you today. I told him, I said, if you continue on to follow Jesus, if you do, that's up to you, and that's up to me. I said, if you do continue to follow on and to know the Lord, like we all are, I said, you will have testimonies of what God is doing and done in your life. I said, and if when you do, I said, you won't be able not to tell of it.
That's right.
I said, it's not called stories like you think. It's called testimonies.
True. Amen.
Every one of us got a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not be ashamed of that.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you. I didn't even preach one. Bad thing, got to get no scriptures one of them days. Everything I preach come out of my spirit.
Amen.
And I was going to go down the lines of the notebook.
Amen.
But that notebook's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He knows what we need. So I want to encourage you. Don't gossip about nobody. If you find out I broke a toenail and cuss, don't tell nobody. Right?
Right.
If I slam my finger in the door and cuss, don't tell nobody. Pastor said a cuss word. And when you lie, and I know you lie and gossiping, I'm not going to go tell everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe God to help you come out of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go uncover you.
Yeah.
And when I find out half the people down here in Boston's drunk, I'm not going to tell you about it. That's none of my business, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want reports coming into this church that some of the members here can't keep their mouths shut
right.
about gossiping about people.
Right. Right.
You know, that's really disheartening to ministry.
Because
mm-hmm. they're doing their very best for us to be, have a clear conscience towards God and have a heart after God. And to find out that you're preaching and it ain't doing nobody no good.
Right.
So, be careful that you don't fall in the traps of the enemy. Let people do what they do. Don't, I mean, you know, now I agree, you know, there's ways that I'm not going to go that some people go. There's things that I'm not going to fall for, you know. If people tell me, you know, somebody, some kid gets run over and killed instantly in a car wreck, God had a plan, they're not fooling me. That was not God's plan. God may have told that kid, don't go. God may have told that kid don't drive. God may have told them parents don't drive. Don't let your kid drive. So I'm sure not going to say God had a plan, right?
Right.
Somebody dies, you know, 30-something years old. I mean, you hear God had needed another little angel. That's not in the Bible. God created angels. We are not angels, and we're not going to ever be angels.
Right.
We're going to have a new body. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. These things can hurt us.
Amen.
These things can hurt our faith in God, because now everything, God has a plan. God's in control. People say that God's in control of everything. That's crazy. If God's in control, why are people getting blown up and killed over yonder? Why are there murderers in prison if God's in control? Why are people raping babies if God's in control? God is not in control of everything. Satan is the god of this world. And Satan has a people down here that are yielding to him, doing his will. The Bible says that, You know, Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. You can see the manifestation of darkness in the killing, stealing, and destroying. And you can see the manifestation of the kingdom of God in people doing good, laying hands on the sick, not getting over there yielding to the way the world thinks.
Right,
and I don't, and people are like, well, we don't want people thinking we're better. We don't.
Amen.
I don't think that I'm better than nobody else, but I'm born again. I'm anointed by God. And if you ain't serving God, you better believe I'm higher.
Right.
I've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've been given a name that's above every name. His name is Jesus. And if that name, things has to bow.
Right. Exactly right.
Just like they tell somebody, tell me, what if they bring and go take your license if you won't marry a man? I said, I'm going to carry that man to the Bible. He only want me to marry him when I get done. He's created in the image and likeness of God, and God didn't make him to lie with a man. God didn't make a woman to lie with a woman or beast. It's even in the Bible for not to lie with beast. That means humans going to lay with beasts, animals. We should preach that in church. God wrote it in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this world didn't license me.
Right.
I have a license. I am licensed. But before I had license, I was called.
Amen.
I was called before I had a piece of paper, but God, and I saw God open doors and no man could shut, like it says in Revelations, and I'm the only one out of the whole gal out of 30 ministries that ministered that they never checked my license. It's like they couldn't see me when I went by. So what I'm saying in that, when God tells us to do something, we have an anointing from God to do it.
Amen.
You can be the father that God wants you to be. You can be the mother that God wants you to be. You can raise your kids in the admonition of the Lord, whether the world does or not, or half the churches does or not. You have a God-given anointing and right to be. My grandkids are going to know Papa as a man of God. I can hit her in the eye, and I'm going to close this. Y'all drawing all this out of me this morning. See, you believe it.
Yeah.
You believe it. You're hungry.
Right.
And God, you draw out of the wells, you draw it.
Yeah.
Aubrey back there this morning. I said, what happened to your eye, baby? Aiden popped me in the eye with a toe, a car or something. And Mama whooped him. I said, she did? Yeah. Yeah, Mama whooped him. Well, I get on over there and she said, my papa, it hurts right there when I blink. I said, oh, it does it? Yeah, we'll just pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord. Well, that's what Papa ought to do.
Right.
Papa needs to teach her. I don't care if it is a little black eye or whatever the case might be. Let's get God involved in it.
Amen.
Let's get God involved in it. Praise God. I have a God-given right to do it. To teach her the ways of God, the way that God would do. God sees somebody sick, his heart bleeds. He wants me and you to go lay hands on them.
Right.
He said, lay hands on them and they'll recover.
Praise Lord God.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit.